Given that we need data to figure out if our work spreads and that we have certain elements where we can look for evidence, let's do just that. So let's analyze the sort of marketing elements on Quora that help your answers spread or determine whether they will, and look at them and let's find some evidence as to what works. So on Quora, the interface is pretty simple. When you open a question, you have basically it starts right with the text. There's the profile, sort of the author up top, and then it gets right into the answer. And of course, you can use pictures and different formatting tools to do so. But let's look at some things I learned while I was on there as to what you should probably do or what helps when you want your answers to spread. So the first thing is bolding the first line. I'm not sure if this still does show up anymore in people's feeds, because in people's feeds answers are displayed differently, okay? So they will see a preview of the answer that looks different than the actual answer might look. But they will always see a preview where they have the first few lines, 2-3 sentences, and the first picture that is in your answer if you have multiple. And so one thing you do by bolding the first line is saying that you're saying something important. So first of all, the first line should always be interesting because it's the line people see first here when they look at the answer preview. So even if it's not bolded there, you want it to be something that pulls them in, something that feels important, something that's interesting. But the first line really has to hit home. And when you then go on and you open the answer and people see that the first line is bolded, they think, oh, this has got to be important, especially if the rest isn't and if you use bolding sparsely, okay? If you don't bold like half your answer. And then that really stands out and it's like, oh, I should probably pay attention from the first second. So that really helps. So with this answer, what are some harsh realities of life? I put, we are the ones who kill genius. I mean, the words alone, one is a special sort of word. Kill is a very, very a word that stands out. And genius is also a word that stands out. Okay. And then it's not the drugs or the alcohol, the unsustainable lifestyle. It's that we, the human species, can't help ourselves but push them into those things until they can't take it anymore. And then I continue with all these grayed out pictures of artists who died early of some kind of like medical condition, suicide, and so on. So it's really a tragic answer. But in that first line is really important because that's also going to be the takeaway for people, okay? So the first line, that really matters. It's important that the first line is good and it helps if you bold the first line. So that's sort of one data point because that's one of the first points that people will interact with when they see your answer in their feed. Just makes sense, right? The second thing I want to talk about is pictures. So again, meet Louis Ranieri. That's a name. Names are always good, especially if it's a name people haven't heard of. Then people will get interested and be like, I should probably know this person, but why? And the answer is going to explain that, obviously. And so I found this picture of this guy, which is fairly old. It's an unusual picture, right? Not your everyday picture. And nobody knows who the guy is, right? And so I have to explain that. But that's another thing. So if you use unusual pictures, and if you use a picture early in the answer, that also helps, especially, I mean, with the person, it's obvious, right, that they have a face to connect the name to. But in general, it helps if your pictures are high up in the answer. I mean, imagine this one, right? This is me taking a picture while I'm against my mirror, and the second the mirror half is sort of blurry, and I took that in our downstairs bathroom at home. But that's the picture people will see when they scroll through their feed, and that's kind of unusual. It's like a selfie, right? But it's weird, this weird mirrored selfie, right? So that's interesting alone, right? So if the picture stands out, that's always a good thing. So whatever the first picture is, because you might have multiple pictures in your answer, and maybe I can actually find one where I have multiple. But in any case, if you have multiple, oh yeah, here for example. So in this case, this would be the picture that shows up in the preview, okay? So I have more pictures down here, but this is the one that shows up in the preview. So you definitely want to make sure that your first picture, the first picture is interesting. What also helps is if it's horizontal, right? So because as you saw before, Sometimes I just don't have one, but this is wasted space basically. Okay, so if you have a picture that's horizontal landscape mode, that's really useful because then people can see the full picture. Another thing, getting more into formatting, so you can also use italics. I only use italics when I quote people or when I basically copy and paste a sort of story. These Zen stories, I always do those in italics, or when I include dialogue somewhere. But that's one of the next things. So obviously, like, people want to have a strong takeaway. People want to have pictures, not in all cases, but pictures help your answer spread. That's going to determine whether people upvote your answer, which is ultimately what gets it to spread, or if people even share on their social media. And then with formatting in general, what you want to do is you want to not overuse bolding and italics, okay? Because when people have this sort of formatting fest in front of them where everything looks different, that's kind of exhausting for the eyes. So what you want is an answer that's sort of skimmable, where you see you have like one, two, three big points, and the rest, and it's rather short. So it really helps if you don't slap on sort of italics everywhere, okay? So in this case, for example, because I had so much dialogue, I didn't even use italics in the dialogue sections because I had so much of it. So I didn't want to clog the answer by using italics for all the dialogue. In this case, like, hey, how are you? And then a couple, two, three more lines, that just made a lot of sense, right? So because it wasn't like all dialogue, it was just some. So what I would say is, use these sort of italics and bolding rather sparingly. Don't overdo it. Some people use a lot of it and maybe it works for them, okay? But for me, I found if I spread the answer sort of two, three lines tops in one paragraph so that there's like lots of white space and it's comfy to scroll through. Overall length not too long on Quora, at least most of the time, as we talked about before. And then just italics and bolding where you really think it's needed. So you see, bolding is the one I use the least. So that's some of my stuff that's done well. To get into some more stuff, for example, this picture is a personal picture. This answer did really, really well because it had all the components, right? So what is a life hack that you think everybody should know? And the first line is keep your phone out of sight. And then I'll say that again very slowly because it might not make sense at first. And then I say the same thing again and I bold it. So, like, people are like, okay, wow, this is really important. And then I show it. So, the difference between this and this picture I took, it's personal. It's not some picture you would find on the internet where the phone is in arm's reach. And then the same thing again where I hit the phone behind the laptop, right? So, literally just put it out of sight. And from there, people were hooked on the answer, and people, I got them, and then I got into some the science of it, and so on, and some things where people can put their phone. But basically, I just hammered home that one point, like, you have to keep your phone out of sight. And that's also really powerful, having like one point, and again, bolding that. So that is something that will help your answers spread. If you have one point, you convey that in a powerful way, you use bolding and pictures to show them that point, that works really well. Another element I wanted to talk about is the separator, because that's a rather, well, it's on Medium too, and it's getting on more platforms, but it's specific to Quora. Also, they have this separator, and you just type a couple dashes and then you hit enter. So it's like dash three times in a row, and then you hit enter, and then you get this separator. And what this does is it's a mental break. So whenever you flip perspectives, when you switch from a story to explaining something and so on, use this, okay? So what I've done in this answer, for example, is I told three different stories, three different examples. And so I separated these with this separator, right? So people can see, oh yeah, it's like one, two, three. So these are kind of separate. And then I explain the actual point, and that's like me saying something. And in this case, I have the picture at the end because I wanted people to imagine the stories first and not see any pictures. But then I wanted, obviously, to have a picture to include with the answer. And that's just a selfie I took. So that actually shows up in the preview. But when people click, they first have to start reading. And they read the stories and they start imagining. So you see, there are like different ways you can play this and where you can place it. But again, having an image is often helpful because it shows up in the preview. So that's for formatting and the separator. Another thing you can do is sometimes, especially when you show people something with steps that you want to do, it really helps to use lots of pictures. So if you have a picture for every step, for example, that can be helpful. And in this case, it's something, a 6-step morning routine. And I included a picture with each one. And in that case, that was really helpful because I explained something, how to do it, and then said to people, yeah, so here's actually like me showing you how to do it. This is what it looks like when I do it. So that's obviously helpful. So sometimes it makes sense to include a lot of pictures when you show something very specific to people. And then the last thing I want to talk about is calls to action, because that's a thing I learned on Quora early on, that people started including calls to action to sign up for their newsletter at the end of an answer. So not just on their profile or somewhere else, but at the end of each answer, they would say, hey, join my newsletter, you know, you can sign up here. And I was a little worried because you might get banned when you do this, because officially I think it's not allowed, or but it's somewhat condoned. And sometimes it might stop your answer from spreading, right? Because you solicit basically people going elsewhere and signing up. But Quora is more and more open to it. But what I would recommend, instead of doing like these blunt, obvious like calls to action, because the real goal of Quora answers is to get upvotes, because upvotes are ultimately the strongest element that helps a Quora answer spread, right? So you want to optimize for upvotes, and that's what you do with all the pictures and the formatting and stuff like that. But what you might want to do is actually embed links to other Quora answers you have and links to other content you have on other sites where people might sign up. So be smart about these sort of calls to action. Don't make it outright. Don't put an outright call to action below the thing and say like, hey, go sign up here. Be smart. So in this answer, for example, I talked about self-awareness, and I wrote a guide about self-awareness on my blog. So I just linked to that because that just made sense. Okay, it felt natural to embed that there. And if people want to go there and read more, then they can read more about self-awareness on my blog. And then they can sign up for email there. In general, of course, it's more direct if you say, hey, sign up for my newsletter, and people convert there. So you might get some more email subscribers. But as we talked about email subscribers, it's not really the game, not really the state of the art play anymore, at least right now. It takes a lot of time, and it's usually not worth it, especially on Quora, where the click-through is rather low. But we'll talk about that more. So these are basically the data elements I look for. So I try to optimize at least. And these are also the elements I would look at if an answer doesn't spread, right? If an answer doesn't work, I go back to these and I look at them and I say, what's the first line? Is that line not good enough? Why didn't it work? And I don't always get an answer, right? And I don't always find it out. For example, in this answer, maybe there's the picture missing, right? Maybe that's why it didn't spread very wide and far. But these are the first stops where I would ask answers. So the first line, have it be powerful, bold it if you can, if it makes sense. Use formatting sparingly, separate sections with mental breaks by using the separator, include pictures, landscape mode pictures, and be smart about how you link to your other content. That's basically the main parts of making bricks well on Quora with like data, with hard evidence.